This lesson is from the course, The Theology of Heaven in the Book of Hebrews, taught by Dr. Lane Tipton.
It's time to turn from the discussion of wilderness and rest to the two mountains treated in the Book of Hebrews, earthly Mount Sinai and heavenly Mount Zion. And I'm going to spend time looking at Exodus 24 in particular as an interpretive lens by which we can begin to see the comparisons and contrasts between Moses and earthly Mount Sinai and Jesus and heavenly Mount Zion. Now, the author of Hebrews draws a direct contrast between the two mountains in Hebrews 12, 18 through 24. The first is earthly Mount Sinai associated with Moses and the Old Covenant, 18 through 21. The second is heavenly Mount Zion associated with Christ as ascended and the New Covenant, Hebrews 12, 22 through 29. Earthly Mount Sinai is associated with the secondary and the typological. Heavenly Mount Zion is associated with the primordial and the eschatological, precisely where we began our course in terms of distinguishing earthly and heavenly orders. I want to spend some time developing some of the comparisons and contrasts inherent in the two mountains and the two mediators in the Old and New Covenant. Now, the focus here will be relegated primarily to our developing a theology of heaven in the book of Hebrews. In Exodus chapter 24, I'm going to read verses 1 through 18 and then offer a number of comments that will help frame the relation of Sinai and Moses to heavenly Zion and Christ. Lord said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him." Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words of the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in the basins, and half the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Israel, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I've written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel, Moses entered the cloud and went up the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Mount Sinai was a holy place consecrated to the worship of God's glory. The people of Israel were to remain at the base of the earthly mountain and worship God from afar, verse 2. They do not go up the earthly mountain with Moses. The elders, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and Joshua, ascend with Moses, but they are allowed only to come midway up the mountain to worship the Lord and to gaze upon His glory and beauty, verses 9 through 11. Only Moses is allowed to ascend to the summit of the mountain where God reveals His glory cloud in smoke and fire of His saving presence, verses 12 through 18. That smoke and fire was the revelation of the saving presence of God's glory atop a holy mountain that Moses was able to enter after 6 days. Now, there's a threefold partitioning reflected in the mountain. There are ascending levels of approach to God. The people at the base, Moses, the elders, and others midway. Only Moses ascends to the top of the mountain to be enveloped by the glory of God for 40 days and 40 nights. This threefold partitioning is reflected and even replicated in the tabernacle. First, the tabernacle contained an outer courtyard with a bronze laver, a wash basin, and a bronze altar. The people were allowed into the courtyard with sacrifices to offer God, but not allowed to enter beyond that realm. Second, there was a holy place, an outer chamber, with a golden lampstand, the table for showbread, and the altar of incense. Aaron and the priests perform regular sacrifices and minister in the presence of God on behalf of the people in the holy place. Third, there is the most holy place with the Ark of the Covenant and the golden cherubim, where God's glory dwells and into which only the high priest can enter once a year with blood not his own. Leviticus 16. It is there that God's glory dwells in its most intense expression amidst the wings of the cherubim atop the Ark of the Covenant, the earthly throne dwelling of God Himself. Israel, as a nation, was able to enter vicariously into the most holy place only through Aaron and blood sacrifice once a year. But they could not enter directly into the presence of God in the most holy place. Now, this pairing of threefold structure of increasing holiness and increasing access to God is basic to both the mountain, a vertical projection, a vertical representation of heaven, and the tabernacle, a horizontal replication of heaven. And in each, there are three levels of access to God. One of the keys to understanding the worship of God in the Old Covenant is this. The worship occurred with levels of separation from the direct presence of God as He dwelled in His earthly holy place. The holy place being the top of the mountain with Moses, the holy place being the most holy place with Aaron. Mount Sinai vertically presented God's glory presence in three ascending movements corresponding to the people, the high priests, and Moses. The tabernacle horizontally represented God's glory presence in three concentric movements from the outer court, the people, the holy place, and the most holy place. Mount Sinai was the earthly vertical projection of heaven. The tabernacle was the earthly horizontal projection of heaven. And both exhibited this three-tiered path of increasing access to the presence of God for the worship of his glory. Now, with this in place, let us examine the features of Exodus 24 with a special focus on Moses' ascent up the mountain as a representative of Israel. Prior to his ascension up the mountain, Moses offered sin and burnt offerings to the Lord, verses 4 and 5. The sin offering is the giving of sacrificial animals. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin or access to God. The burnt offering, or olah, ascension offering, symbolizes ascent into the presence of God. The sin offering is offered in blood and consumed in fire. And the smoke of that burnt offering will ascend up the mountain into the presence of God, signifying an ascent into his presence, up his holy mountain. Moses cannot ascend on his own merit, so he comes to the Lord in the blood of the sin offering and the smoke of the burnt offering, the clearest sign that he is only a type of the coming mediator. He comes, in other words, in the typological expression of the work of Jesus Christ, whose blood atones for sin, and as Paul says in Ephesians 3:2, gave himself as a fragrant offering and sweet-smelling aroma to God. Just as Noah gave burnt offerings on Mount Ararat, just as Abraham had given burnt offerings on Mount Moriah, so Moses offers burnt offerings before ascending Mount Sinai. Second, Moses takes with him Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, the 70 elders, and Joshua, to accompany him partway up the mountain. And this is a movement from the base, where the people could only come and gather, up the mountain. And verses 9 and 11 make something crystal clear. They beheld God and saw the clearness of heaven in its projected form. They saw the veiled glory of heaven as God condescended to dwell with him, and they ate and drank and had fellowship in his presence. They worshiped his glory as they beheld the clearness of heaven projected down on that earthly mountain. The clearness of heaven is an idiom used to express what Meredith Klein termed a projection or intrusion of the glory of the invisible realm, the glory of the invisible dwelling of God, that projected itself downward upon earthly Mount Sinai. And as the glory of the invisible heaven projected itself downward, intruded into the earthly realm of Sinai, those who were present saw the glory of the Lord made visible in their presence. And it is the presence of the holy God, condescended from his heavenly mountain dwelling, that sanctified Mount Sinai and made it into a place for special fellowship and worship of the Lord. The heavenly descends to dwell upon the earthly mountain, rendering it a unique place where, for a time, heaven is upon earth. But what makes the heaven projected so glorious is that, quote, they saw the God of Israel. They saw the invisible God in visible revelatory forms, what you can call a theophany. Just as Isaiah saw him and the train of his robe filled the heaven temple, so Moses, the high priest, and the 70 elders see the Lord in his condescension on the mountain of Sinai. He was cloaked in smoke and fire as a garment. Under his feet was the glorious and luminous heaven of clearness. And this leads some to think that it is perhaps a Christophany, a temporary appearance of the Lord that appeared in something like a human form even though he would not assume his human nature until the fullness of time. Galatians 4:4. And the Lord did not lay a hand on them, and they ate and drank in his presence. This reenacts Adam and Eve with God on the holy mountain of Eden before the fall. It is there that they beheld God's glory presence, the Eden mountain also being a downward shadowing of the glory of heaven, and that Eden mountain being a place of holy fellowship and worship with the Lord. Eating and drinking in the presence of the Lord, with heaven projected downward for them to gaze upon the glory of the Lord, that is the significance of Mount Sinai. It, like Eden, is a unique and holy place set aside for the worship of the Lord and communion with Him. But it is a place not only that reenacts the earthly mountain of Eden, it pre-enacts the heavenly mountain of Zion, because it is the heavenly mountain presence of God projected in typological and redemptive form that Moses and the elders and Nadab and Abihu and Joshua saw. The Lord's feet, as it were, set in the heaven of clearness, descending in visible form, was the revelation of the glory of the Lord in temporary earthly forms. Third, Moses was called away from the rest, uniquely typifying the Lord Jesus Christ. He was called up to the pinnacle of the mountain, where God's glory dwelled in the cloud of His presence, so that he might enter the rest of God. 12 through 18. Before Moses ascended, he had to wait for 6 days, as the cloud of God's glory and saving presence descended on the top of the mountain. This is a direct allusion back to Genesis 1:1 through 2:2, where God worked a very good work in the space of 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Days 1 through 3, he created realms of day and night, sky and sea, earth and dry land. Days 4 through 6, he created the sun and moon, the fish and fowl, and man to rule over the earth. And on the seventh day, God rested in heaven from all his works and blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Hebrews 4:4 reminds us that God has been resting in heaven from his works of creation since the foundation of the world, since the end of the creation week. God rested in the heaven temple atop Mount Zion. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Why is Moses told to wait until the end of the sixth day to enter? Because Moses is called as a type of Christ to ascend the mountain of the Lord and enter into the rest of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. Therefore, after dwelling below that place where God had called him, Moses is allowed to come up the mountain and enter into the presence of the Lord. It is a redemptive reenactment of the creation of the world in the space of 6 days and God's entrance into Sabbath rest. This rest differs from the first Adam. He was not allowed to enter the rest because of disobedience. But this rest of Moses typifies the entrance of a second Adam, a new and true Moses, up the mountain. The 6 days of dwelling on that mountain, followed by a seventh day of rest, are a redemptive recapitulation of creation and a pointing forward to a new creation in the Messiah. In 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth, and he rested. And now Moses, on behalf of Israel, coming out of the Red Sea, entering into the holiness of the mountain of God, moves in those ascending levels of holiness into the very presence of God, where he is enveloped by the glory cloud, as it were, translated into heaven itself atop that mountain of glory and rest. The 6 days, followed by the seventh, are a symbolic entrance into the glory of heaven, the glory of rest, the rest of God. And this really brings what we saw earlier about the land and the mountain to a point of convergence. To enter the land is to enter rest. Moses did not enter that. But to ascend the mountain is to enter rest, and Moses did so. The pinnacle of the mountain, where God's glory dwells, is the place of rest. Moses is called up to the mountain of salvation, up to the place where God's glory dwells, up to the place where Sabbath rest exists. And he did this as a prototype. He did this as one who forecasted the coming of Jesus Christ, one greater than Moses, who would ascend the heavenly mountain as the mediator of the new covenant. This material from Exodus 24, framing the significance of the earthly mountain of Sinai, provides a typological template very similar to what we saw in Hebrews 3:7-4:11. Now, that pattern of a mediator ascending the mountain has been brought to its full primordial heavenly term. Moses entered up a projected type of heaven in Mount Sinai. Jesus enters into the heavenly reality itself. Moses ascended into a type of heavenly rest. Christ ascends into the heavenly rest itself. Moses ascended into a type of heavenly rest as a mediator representing others. Jesus ascends up into heaven itself, enters rest as the mediator and representative of all of his people joined to him, past, present, and future, old and new covenant. This helps us recognize that when the author of Hebrews tells you that in Christ, as the church, you have come to heavenly Mount Zion, it means that the place of worship and rest has been opened for you as you ascend into the direct presence of God in union and communion with Christ, to which we will turn as we look at verses 22 through 29.
Thank you for watching this lesson from Reformed Academy. This is just the beginning. At Reformed Academy, we offer free, in-depth courses that will help you grow in your knowledge of God's Word. Join thousands of learners from around the world who are deepening their faith and engaging with rich, redemptive historical theology, all at no cost to you. Sign up today at reformedforum.org/academy and start exploring the unfolding message of Christ revealed in all the Scriptures.